Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
October 4, 2022, allegedly according to that thing we call a calendar. And this happens to be the show you're looking for. How do I know that? Because you found it, and it's getting harder and harder to find every day. So here we are, Tuesday. We are live, if it is October 4, 2022, and you're hearing us just after 8 p.m. I went to air about 5 minutes late. Then we are live. And I have Christy Aphrodite with me, and we're going to get into some interesting stuff when it comes to taking care of oneself with a topic in mind. So there's a scary change of pace. An actual topic in mind, but we're also going to take your calls at 319-527-5016. That's all there. We'll take your comments from the chat room, the live chat at ocelli.com or at christyaphrodite.com. Either way, you can listen to the show live. However, some people might have taken notice that the YouTube channel has been deleted permanently. So no more YouTube for the O'Chelly Effect or O'Chelly.com radio. And in addition, I am informed this week that our AM and FM affiliates, all of them all together, will be gone. And here's why. Somebody bought the little companies, and there was a handful of companies, three to be precise. There were three companies that I had contracts with for AM and FM radio, and they were all bought by the same media group. And apparently the first two orders of business were as follows. Everybody who works for these companies is to get themselves ready to terminate themselves to get out of there. And they're all fired. And first order of business, cancel the O'Chelly Effect and O'Chelly.com radio rebroadcasts on AM and FM. So I'm looking into who bought those companies, because it's another media group buying smaller media groups. And that's the end of that. So no more AM and FM, and no more YouTube, although I am planning on filing an appeal. And so by the end of October, we will not have an AM and FM presence any longer. And it's not like it's going to stop me, but it is a little depressing. And I guess we'll clear up the monetary concerns by the end of next week or the week after or something like that. Because anyway, that's a whole web. Who needs to hear about the business of radio, right? Anyway, it is what it is. I'm being canceled. Simultaneously, the same week that I get thrown off of YouTube permanently, also coincidentally, the little independent stations are being bought. And yeah, first order of business, you're all fired. Oh, and by the way, while you're doing your last couple of weeks of work, get rid of that guy. So funny stuff. Anyway, that's not the topic of tonight's show, not at all, but I'm sure we'll talk about it further in the week. We got some stuff planned for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So that was what took up part of my weekend, and that's that. Anyway, Christy Aphrodite's with me, so on to bigger, better plans, and we do have a plan tonight, so let's see how that is. And how you doing tonight, Christy?
Damn. That's all I gotta say. And, you know, this topic, I kind of have a feeling we could go longer than a week. So I want to hear more about all of this surprising good news you just hit us with. And it's feeling like 2014 February when I got completely erased from everywhere all at the same, like within a handful of days, less like 3 days. So I'm sorry that you and others are now going through that. Do you know what you did wrong? What rule did you break on YouTube?
Oh, on YouTube, yeah. I spoke against the vaccine, even though I thought I had done it in such a way that it was not direct and harsh and wild claims of any kind.
Wow.
And I was actually mindful of that. And it was months and months ago. In fact, one of the shows that I got canceled for was from 2019 when they were proposing the vaccine and I was talking about it. But also there was a report from Australia which they were being resistant to the vaccinations at the time, and they were talking about that, and I had people from Australia on the show. But there was additional stuff, and also a wide variety of other complaints where they just said I'm a repeated violator of community guidelines.
You're a repeat offender.
Yeah. So due to the fact that it is apparently, you know, habitual on my part, and people were apparently going back and catching me for stuff from a year ago, 2 years ago, 2021, 2019, 20, that were saying, you know, well, you were a medical misinformation, you know.
So you didn't see anything crazy, like, you know, there might be dog kidney or monkey kidney, horse serum, pig blood, calf serum, rabbit brains, chicken embryos, SV40 RNA, DNA, heavy metals such as mercury, aluminum, cadmium, lead, aluminum phosphate, glycerin, MSG, phenol, acetone, fecal matter, live bacteria, live... You didn't say anything like that, did you?
No, I was merely challenging the idea that there had not been time to test efficacy on things which have never been tested and are being newly created, allegedly. And, yeah, that was the kind of thing that I was doing, the much more mild version, not like some of my friends who were screaming that this is a massive genocide.
Somebody you might be talking to here tonight, like, what the heck? You say things kind of sensibly, you know, unlike some me's I know, but I just can't even believe, because I've never really heard you say, don't do this or anything like that. But all that shows, Chuck, and I know it's hard when we get kicked in the face and erased and all of this stuff, but you're doing something right? You're hitting the mark somewhere, or there would be no reason to erase you.
Well, there's that, and one other thing which is not as yet resolved, but if you're listening to the Ocelli Effect on Apple podcasts, you may want to pay attention and find another feed for it as well, because Apple might... remove me also, just so you know. I may be removed from Apple next. It's not confirmed, but so that's going. I'm just saying, I have been constantly battling to say things in a sensible, reasonable, non-hyperbolic way.
Do that. That's why I'm so shocked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've been deleted forever, and I'll always be deleted because I don't know how to play well with others, right? Mm-hmm. But you, Chuck, it's shocking because, I mean, see, I've just had to, like, shut up entirely, right? And kind of pull away, but you, I don't know. I think that you present pretty much every issue I've heard you talk about in a fair, you know, no different than South Park, right? They make fun of both sides. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting how it's okay for some people and not for others, and that's just more evidence that you are doing something right, and now we just have to find a way to fight harder. I don't know what the answer is, but we're going to find it.
Yeah, well, thankfully, I've been setting up a BitChute, you know, and been transferring stuff over. We didn't get all the videos over there, but got a lot of the core videos from the channel. But I was on YouTube since 2008. And
I know 5 for me, man. I know. And this one channel is from 9, which was like the 10th channel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what the other harsh thing I said about the vaccinations was, is that, you trust companies that gave you the opioid crisis. Companies that gave you all these, and I kept listing stuff like, you know, the class action lawsuits. Well, no, I didn't even go into AIDS. I was talking about, you know, like, they can't manage not to get...
See, because you're the sensible one.
Well, but see, I was like, they can't manage not to put cancer-causing stuff in talcum powder, so women rubbing this on their genitals, they got, you know, all sorts of, like, you know, woman cancers, right? Because of it, and they're being sued for that. That's Johnson & Johnson. And also Johnson...
Well, let's not talk about men on antidepressants and the fact that they can't get a hard-on either.
Oh, no, I mentioned that. Hey, I mentioned that, but look, that's one thing, but also, you know, the stuff that is supposed to be for antidepressant and also supposed to help you with your different psychological issues that make you suicidal.
Make you want to kill yourself. First-hand experience right here.
And that's, and you know, and what am I citing when I say that? Not only my own personal experiences, but their own warning labels, their own literature. And, you know, and that's the funny thing is also with the vaccine, I said it wouldn't prevent anything. And I said that, in their own literature, and I'm not kidding. If you actually read Pfizer's literature on this, when they, you know, cause they released some of their stuff. And they said it wouldn't prevent the spread. It wouldn't stop transmission. They said it in their research. Now that's not what the news media told you. But I was telling you what they said in their own papers. So I was telling you first off that all these companies, and also not just in America, but the companies that are doing it in other countries, because, you know, Pfizer is not acceptable in the UK, say. But it is acceptable in other countries and some of these other, you know, Moderna, all these. I was just saying, you know what? These companies have killed people with stuff that they said were helping people and they wait until there's enough bodies and enough damage to actually bring together these class action lawsuits. And I am citing things that is publicly available. This is open source. No hidden secrets on this. I didn't do anything in my mind anyway. Outside of say, I mean, you know what? The most harshly resistant thing I said is I'm not going to get this shot and I'm not going to, if I have any say over anybody like my child, they're not going to get this shot either. I said that.
I never heard you tell everyone they're going to die like I have for the past few years.
Well, see, now I've done other anti-vaccine shows before and talked about how, you know, but that was okay back then because I was just a nut, you know.
No. Well, it wasn't for me. I was erased. Like, my first vaccine show was 2007. And, yeah, that kind of put me on the map for, you know, being targeted and silenced and made crazy and racist and abuser and all of these things, yep. You know, pedophile or...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, Chuck, I don't know what to say. Maybe, I don't know, can people still do microstations and set up antennas in their big yard in the Ozarks or something anymore?
Okay, under a special FCC provision, you are still allowed to get the small transmitters, and you can go get yourself a registered but not licensed. It doesn't have to be licensed if it's under a certain power level. You can register a microstation and you can chain them together if you like. So every couple of miles, you could set up another antenna and create a chain of antennas that are all separate stations, technically. This you're allowed to do. And quite frankly, it's only about $1,200, I think, to buy all the stuff brand new. To set up a
micro broadcaster.
All right,
well, let's make it happen. Let's put up an Ocelli, what are those? You know, those fundraising things.
Oh, like a GoFundMe or Kickstarter or something?
Something like that, right? And, you know, I mean, it's down to this right now. And Chuck, when you were giving me the pep talk a few weeks ago and I was all like, why even speak, right? This is... You know, clearly what's been going on in my head for, say, 17 years of censorship. Mm-hmm. And so the deal is if people actually want independent media, they're going to have to start supporting it, not just talking about it.
Well,
and
you know what else they could do?
It's a good opportunity to just say, hey, this is what we need. We have a place for a tower. You know, that's what I can do. I am, you know, living off credit cards, just saying, no sob stories. It was a choice, but you know what I'm saying? But I have the space And I don't know, maybe we have to try to go that route and find a place where you are allowed to speak freely, because you've kind of had a lot of hits lately.
Well, here's an idea. Believe this or not, if there was somebody out there who said to themselves, look, I've got a credit card and I've got a backyard, you could set up a transmitter, okay, in your backyard if you wanted to. Like, I don't even, I'm not after money, or I don't need to even have the equipment. I'm telling you now, if you guys wanted to set it up and make it so that we could broadcast, from your backyard, just in your town, if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, you totally can. I know people with other big yards, you know what I'm saying? So we could just start right here and go from there.
Yeah.
And if we're local here, then we can invite other locals and get them to help support and share and grow, and they have yards, you know?
Well, I'm just saying that somebody anywhere, let's just say they were anywhere, okay, we're closer to the East Coast. If somebody on the West Coast wanted to do this, we do have, now they're not legal at all, but there's two pirate stations up in New Jersey that carry this, and I think they only cover like a good 10 square miles or something, like the little tiny broadcast that they have. And they're totally illegal stations. And, if you're hearing my voice in New Jersey as I speak, you're listening to a pirate radio station, and I'm glad. And they do carry a lot of the live broadcasts and, most of my replays.
So there is a way to do that then. So check this out, what I just thought of. It wouldn't be just my town we would be broadcasting to, Chuck.
Yep.
Because I'm kind of on the top of a mountain with cities on both sides, with lake on both sides, where tourists from all over the world literally come to fish this lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, you know, like high up on the top right here might be able to hit, you know, due to the geography.
Here's the neat thing. Well, let me tell you a neat thing about this, though.
The boats are just like, I mean, they're just right there. I can walk to the lake from my yard, you know?
But you could claim a low power AM sector, right? And here's the fun part. No need for a license or regulation by the FCC. If it's under
how much money do we need, and how much technical skill?
That's what I'm saying. It's about $1,200, and it is just a matter of, I know how to do it. And somebody with some basic knowledge, just the only thing is, interfacing the computer to pick up the stream and put it on there is, it's a little tricky. But my understanding is there are people that are willing to show you how to do this. I'm confident that I can figure it out if I had the equipment in my hands. So I'm telling you guys, this is not that difficult. If you can handle, like, you know, the old days of wiring a stereo together kind of thing, you should be able to do this. So long as you can keep it powered. And, I guess it would cost you some electricity or whatever. But, we could literally put these up all over the United States. It's all in the continental U.S. This is a provision, and you're not regulated by the FCC. The only thing that you gotta do is, not violate broadcast standards. That's your only problem. So you can't be dropping F-bombs on the open air, but, from I think it's midnight to 5 a.m. in your location, it doesn't matter.
Shut the front door.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's, I'm just saying, it is one of these things that is doable, and it's a little known thing, and quite frankly, they just solidified it, during the Obama administration, and Trump's FCC people didn't screw with it, and neither did Biden's. They let it go. It is just a working provision, and if you get one operational, even if they change it, they can't take it away. So, this I have looked into some. Because I would love to have a little tower here in Georgia, and I'd love for anybody else who wants to set up a tower somewhere. And you don't have to just broadcast me, but I'd be more than happy if you did. You know what I'm saying? Probably another couple hundred bucks. You could set up your own little live studio, too. And, I don't know, do your radio show in the morning, run mine at night. You know what I mean? You could do your own little thing in your own little town. Did I lose you, Christy? Did I put you to sleep?
Oh, no. I just think it's all great ideas, and I hope that people's, you know, the wheels are turning and try, and that they're also trying to figure out how to make this a reality.
Right, right. No, absolutely. Absolutely true. This is something that could be done. Sorry, I was just interrupted by something. I didn't realize something was going on. Anyway, yeah, this is something that is doable and possible in any location that you're listening to us if you're in the U.S. I don't know about other countries, but it is possible. Anyway, this is the way things are going.
It's legal and it doesn't take licenses and signing up and asking for permission, you're saying?
No, all it is, well, you do register that you're claiming the frequency. That's it. That doesn't cost anything. And if you keep it under a certain amount of power, there's no need for a license or regulation or any of that. You just have to make sure that your transmission's not too strong. It's just a certain amount of strength.
Right.
Yeah. So that's
okay.
It.
Okay, well, food for thought, and I hope that maybe we can come up with a way and, yeah, do like a little fundraiser or something. And, yeah, because clearly this, you know, it's just, I'm sorry, but, you know, we're, real people aren't allowed to be heard in all these other channels and platforms. And so it's time for real people to band together and stick together just like they do, mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
Like, for the life of me, I cannot understand why people keep supporting that. And, oh, sorry, bro, you know, I don't have any money. I got my nails done, but, you know, I don't have $5 for that. And it's like, you know, people can't complain if they're not part of the solution. That's how I feel right now.
Fair enough. And, you know, that along with, you know, some other cancellation. I mean, look, I know people don't have money right now. That's the hard part is that it is a real serious squeeze. I mean, everybody always doesn't have enough
money.
But, I mean, right now, everybody's getting squeezed hard. And, so, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if this is a project thing to be taken on, but I'm telling you now, if somebody out there has, say, a credit card and they want to do this and just have their own little, broadcast tower.
A credit card that's not maxed.
Yeah. A credit card that's not maxed, or if they just, you know, or if they're lucky enough to, like, say, have, you know, $1,200 that they could put into something. You know, maybe they just have that because they've got some expensive hobby or some plan they had and they could,
You know, lots of people do, and that's what's bullcrap. They're not spending it on real people or real growers or real producers or real creators or, you know,
mm-hmm.
it just, but that's, you know what? Spend your dollars creating the world you want, not complaining about the world you don't like, and then running back to the people who, you know, messed you up or censored you or poisoned you or whatever. You can't go back to them. Like, what is it going to take for people to start working together and building communities, building networks, building microstations, you know, that's what a microstation is. That's a way of building community and having information like alternative or different from CNN in available, right? That doesn't mean people have to listen to it.
Well, years ago,
but at least it's an option in a world where those options don't really exist very much.
And the other thing that's weird is, I don't know if you remember this, but I'm sure you do. Remember that Jack was on a network for a little while called the Micro Effect Network? And it was online for sure, but they also had micro broadcasters all over the place. They had sort of come together like a confederate of a network, right? And I always thought that was a great idea, but it sort of collapsed, you know, after time, because just like anything else, somebody takes a great idea and either hijacks it and turns it into something else or runs it into the ground on purpose, which a lot of these broadcast networks, not just because, you know, some narcissistic nut job was running it, which has happened also. But
once or twice.
Yeah, a few times. But literally, there's also been times when you know somebody's walked in with a decent amount of money and simply bought the thing to destroy it. And look, if you come in, and I've even told people about the offer to buy my website and my little network already. It happens. Somebody will come along to buy it. Frankly, that micro effect thing, I don't remember exactly what happened to it, but they had like 30, 40 transmitters all together, looped together, different people running them all over the country. And, it was fairly effective, I thought. And it also had the, you know, the online presence. So nowadays, even more so with the cell phones, you can easily get free radio apps. You know, I mean, Sirius XM charges you money for their app or their radio, but, anybody right. with a smartphone or even a government Obama phone can go get an app that'll, like right now, you could be listening to us on TuneIn or radio or I'm trying to think of the other. There's a whole bunch of these like live broadcast, like just radio things where, yeah, you can get your local radio stations, or let's just say you're from, like, I loved it because I could get radio stations in New Jersey still when I first moved down south, because I was rather homesick. So I could listen to stuff in Jersey, through my little radio app, and that was years ago. But it still counts. I can still listen to if I want to, go catch like a Mets game. You know, every once in a while I do listen to or watch a baseball game, but radio especially, I could listen to a Mets game, you know, here in Georgia, right? Because I knew what the station was in New York, and you can do that. So you have your regular radio stations, and then you have a whole bunch of independent stuff. Even our friend AJ there had like three different network channels on those radio apps. He had the like InfoWars channel, the Alex Jones channel, the Prison Planet channel, and of course Genesis Radio Network running him. So he was in like four spots on any given radio app. And that's not hard to do. You know, I already have all that. All you would need to do is plug in my stream to your broadcaster and boom, you're part of a, and if we got just a few of us together, we suddenly have a freestanding independent network that has no government regulation and is only regulated by what it is you guys choose to run day and night. You know, I got 24/7 worth of programming, but you could also turn around and if you wanted to broadcast in your own town. Now somebody brought up in the chat room, since, you know, you said you wanted to explore this a little. Well, we'll take a little time and then maybe we'll get into the subject I wanted to talk to you about. But somebody brought up Radio Shack, and indeed, it's the same principle when you used to be able to buy and put together these little radio broadcasters at Radio Shack, okay? And right. what people did is, like, it's some businesses and things. Like, you ever been to, like, a tour of a place where you stay in your car and you can drive and it gives you directions? And it's on a broadcast channel, like, tuned to this radio station?
Right.
Well, Radio Shack had all that basic equipment that you could do that, and it only, you know, covered, you know, like a mile or whatever. But it worked, and it was on either an AM or an FM broadcast that was on, you know, an unoccupied channel. And used to be able to do that on a local level, and Radio Shack had all that stuff. I could set that up in, like, take me about an hour to set that up. And some people did that in their towns where they just, like, broadcast to their block, you know. Just broadcasting to your neighbors, this kind of thing. It's like a high-powered version of that. And, yeah, you get so many miles out of it or whatever. I'm not sure the exact, you know, the exact measurements on it, but it's a small tower. It's not a big thing. It's like a big antenna. And there you go. I mean, it's about as difficult as that to set up. So it is like the Radio Shack thing when you used to be able to do that. Now, the guy says, oh, well, you know, too bad Radio Shack isn't around anymore. True, but, you know, here's the thing. The evil corporation that is Amazon allows you to order just about anything, right? So you could buy that stuff and, you know, who knows, maybe get free shipping. I don't know. There's probably special deals on it if you go to the right place. And, yeah, and your basic audio stuff is available at Walmart or Walmart online. Again, don't love those corporations, but ease of access, you can get it there cheap.
Right, if you're able, yeah.
So, just saying, if somebody was possessed with the idea that they wanted a broadcaster to handle their town, wherever that may be, it could be anywhere. We have listeners all over the country. Like I said, from New Jersey to California and all places in between and north and south, you know, from, Texas to, Michigan, I guess. You know what? We're covered. And, we could literally create a grid that, is that. Just that. And like I said, in the morning, like, let's just say you want to do a broadcast on Saturday mornings and play your records or whatever. Now, I'm not sure how difficult it would be to plug in music and stuff, but given if you have the ability to plug in a computer that can relay my signal, it shouldn't be too hard to load up your own MP3s and DJ. And if you don't know how to do that, you can get a cracked version of a program called Sam Broadcaster, which does it very well. And I trained, and I will freely train anybody who wants to come on and be a network person. You want to know how to run a Sam Broadcaster, I will help you.
And we all know we're all closet DJs, right? We all have the best playlists.
Dude, anybody who's a friend of mine, I guarantee, has been at a party at some point and been like, you know what, I want to put on my music, and has done it.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, this is lame, I want my stuff on because my stuff's good to party to, or my stuff fits the mood, or I just heard some great stuff. Whatever it is, we have all had the urge to go, everybody listen to the music I want to listen to. We've all done it. So, you know what? You could run a little music show. You could go on and make your rants for an hour, a half hour, whatever. And really want to stick it to them, you could turn all that around and throw it up on YouTube. Your little DJ show. Right?
Yeah, until YouTube, you know.
Until they cancel you. But, you know, just saying. Right. It could be fun for a minute.
So has this been your same channel for the life of your career, Chuck? Is this your first erasure on YouTube?
It is the same channel, but it is not my first erasure because I actually won an appeal one time and also had my my channel restored. You know, when it was supposed to be permanently deleted, it was absolutely restored and whole at one point, but all of my videos did not make it back. But they literally disappeared the channel completely and then had to restore it after many months of going through a process that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have done it twice. I've returned the channel. This time, though, yeah, it does not look as though I'm going to be...
I don't care. You know, I mean, like, every time they erased me, there was not one warning email... You did this wrong. There was not one response to me or anyone who tried to communicate. And that was back in the day when they had that process, right?
Yeah.
And they were and they had the direct live uploads. So of course I didn't have those backed up. You know, I just thought they would be there forever and their rules, they were supposed to allow you access to your channel to get your work and nope. Wasn't allowed to do any of that. They don't care.
Well, see, I got through those processes twice in two different ways and restored it. But this time there is a long trail of here is a complaint. Here is a problem. Here is an issue you had. Here's where you violated standards. And some of them I've documented on this show, my favorites of which, okay, greatest hits. I cyberbullied Jeffrey Epstein, after he was dead. Okay, I just want you to know that. After he's dead, I was cyberbullying.
I'm sure he was really offended.
But I cyberbullied Jeffrey Epstein. Okay. You know, not like I didn't cover that as a news story or something. No, no, no. I cyberbullied him. All right, fine. Another thing is, while comparing statements between, and this is like a 90-second video that had been up there for like 10 years, more than 10 years, where I compared the statements of John F. Kennedy regarding the Vietnam War. This is no joke. One statement was a public statement. One statement was one that he dictated into a recorder, right? And I showed how the two statements clashed with each other about the Vietnam War, that there was certainly a public and a private face of the way the administration was handling it. In a 90-second video where I asked questions in text on the screen, does this seem like it makes sense to you? And do you see the contradiction?
That's the problem. You asked questions.
Oh, but wait. What do you think the reason for having that piece taken away and also a strike issued to me was?
Enlighten me.
Okay. I was encouraging self-harm. Then, it gets better. It gets better. Not only did I encourage self-harm, but then I got this very creepy email from the Google team, which said that I had been speaking of self-harm recently and that they were concerned about me.
I'm sure they were. Wow.
I'm not kidding. I got a hold of you. You've been speaking of things that relate to self-harm as of late. We just want to know if you are okay and if there is anything we can do for you. You might want to consider calling the National Suicide Hotline. Yeah, I got that from the Google team. That's the way it was signed. Uh-huh. And by the way, when I appealed about that, I appealed, and within 10 minutes of my appeal, and I think the whole video might have been 9 minutes long. I'm thinking about it. I think the video was 9 minutes long. Less than 10 minutes later, after I filed an appeal just on that video, they sent me back a message stating that they stood by their decision, that that they were absolutely correct. Okay. So it has nothing to do. One thing has nothing to do with the other. But,
right.
You know.
Well, like my Twitter thing, that they still haven't responded to the appeal, and my only option is to admit that I'm a bad girl, and I'm just not going to do that. I'm just moving on with the new account. It's never ending. And that's what they want, though. They want to keep people off their game, right? By these endless processes that go nowhere. Like, I still can't get into my Facebook Messenger, and I get the exact same thing the couple times I tried to get help, right? Yet their scammers or bots can use it and change the dates and, it's just, yeah, they're people have to be willing to create solutions outside of the same places we're not allowed to exist. We're just, and that was part of my frustration last month, you know, we're just talking into a vacuum to the same people. Mm-hmm. And so is it time to find a way to step it up and break out of that bubble, and is it even possible?
Well,
I don't know.
That's
it's
the
never
thing
been for me.
Is that it's not easy, but if we had just a couple of these relay stations and we got people encouraged to replicate the concept, if there was a way to raise money, I mean, look, I'm sure somebody would be willing to house one. Maybe somebody's willing to pay for one and they don't have a place to put it. If we could put people together that would do that, we could have a literal web of stuff that nobody can regulate or take down. Let me just give you the topper on this YouTube problem, by the way. The very last strike against me is not quite as funny or absolutely ridiculous and retarded as the other two I just gave you. And yes, I use the word retarded because to me it's a medical term. And I stand by it. Okay.
It's okay, Chuck. I'm retarded.
I'm not, but I'm not being mean to people that are actually, you know, mentally handicapped. I mean, this is literally retarded.
Well, I don't know anyone who isn't.
Exactly. So anyway, the last one, I love this because it's just utterly stupid. It's almost as dumb as the Vietnam War now encourages self-harm. Anyway, yeah, I am supporting, ready? I'm supporting the Trump 2020 stolen election narrative.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't actually ever remember hearing anything even close to that, but if that's how they want to see it, what can you do?
Because it never happened. That's
right.
That's I am completely dumbfounded over, like, how do you prove you didn't do something exactly? Yeah, that was, and it was in a video that...
Shouldn't they have to prove that you did do it?
Well, you would think so, but they don't. Because, see, that's the thing. And look, I don't object to the idea that any private company can choose to do business with or, you know, do whatever they want. I get it. And there are some people that argue, like, things like Twitter are actually not quite, you know, private entities, but they are. So, you know what? When they want to kick me off of something like that, and they have, I have kind of been like, okay, if this is simply your choice for not wanting to do business with me, I get it. I'm not happy, but I get it. You know, so I'm not screaming that it's my free speech here. I'm not. But weird that they go after me for stuff that I'm not even doing.
It's Chuck, it's the same playbook every single time from all those organizations and all those subsidiaries and all of the people who have never done anything substantial in their life that want to be part of something bigger than them and feel accomplished, right?
Yeah.
It's clearly, like, they're not going to make accusations that are true, right? But also, when people are making these accusations, they're only telling you what and who they are.
Yeah, somebody said I might be a Q-tard in the chat room. Let me tell you
something. You know you're a closet Q-tard. Don't argue.
No, wrong.
No, you're in denial.
You know what I am? Is I am an Antifa Q. Okay?
I know you are.
I am an Antifa Q, and that's what I am. And where we go one, we go all. And you know what? That is exactly.
I just think it's hilarious. My anti-Trump, like, to the nth degree, like, it ruined his life, friend.
Yeah.
He's now a Trump supporter. And he's not actually a Trump supporter, but those are the accusations, because he actually decided to ask questions.
Yeah.
And he's not a Trump supporter in any way, shape, or form. But it's just hilarious.
I also encouraged violence by discussing the news event as it was happening, the January 6th thing, where I was talking about, well, this is what the video looks like. This is what the news is reporting. This is what some people are saying. Like, when I reported on that, I was literally encouraging violence. That's another thing.
So we need to get off their platforms, because we're never going to be allowed to be heard, right?
Well,
so
yeah,
what's the solution?
The only thing I got is my website, as far as I know, and until they change rules and regulations, can't be taken from me. I own it legally and all that good stuff. I mean, crazy as that is. And legally, you could control a broadcast tower. You, me, anybody could. And as long as we stay under a certain power level and we claim our frequency, it's ours. And, because remember, the public owns the airwaves, okay? That's something everybody forgets, even though they regulate them on our behalf.
I thought the Air Force
did. No. The airwaves, no, but literally broadcast airwaves, right, which are, you know, now under digital this and that and the third thing, they're still technically, if you broadcast it in open air, it's still a public venue. So there are certain concerns for the community and for the public there, but this little interesting loophole means that you can independently, because you are part owner of the airwaves, take part of the airwaves yourself. So Christy Aphrodite could own this frequency in this particular area. And that's it. It's not even a licensed station. Like, you don't have to go through the getting permission and making sure you have all your stuff.
You just go claim it.
You just claim it.
Like the gold rush, allegedly.
Yeah. And there, and only a small percentage of these areas have been claimed in the U.S. so far. Like, you're talking about less than 1% of the possible broadcast area has been claimed. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of people who have taken it on. You know, they've decided to do, like I told you, the neighborhood broadcast kind of thing, where it's like they're just broadcasting to, like, you know, their friends and neighbors within a couple of blocks within their housing development or whatever. And they're doing that, and that's it. Just a few enthusiasts out there have done it. But quite frankly, it's still wide open in every state in the union. There is no state that's fully occupied. And it's 1% of the possible broadcast area. Now, some of the broadcast area is pointless because there's no people, you know. But even so, you're talking about maybe 75% of fruitful broadcast area that is available in total geographically is still out there unclaimed. And I'm talking about highly populated areas. Matter of fact, there's some in... there's only like two of them in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Los Angeles is fairly large and can support like five of these frequencies. And they only have two there. And New York has one. So those are the two that I looked at. I also looked up New Jersey, which, by the way, New Jersey has a few. But they're not very large, and there's still available frequencies in New Jersey. And that's a tiny state. But every other state in the union, there is available broadcast areas that can be claimed. And, yeah, you got to claim a frequency. It's like a number. So you'll always be on the same broadcast number on AM radio. And, yeah, AM radio still works, by the way, in case people didn't know it. And the funny part is, yeah, I mean, you know, if it's done right, We could just add it too, and instead of that list of AMs and FMs I have on the side of my my sidebar right now, we could start a whole new thing. So if somebody out there right now is listening and wanted to put up a tower in their backyard, pretty much, and their area is not claimed, they could go claim it. Let me know about it, and I will post and put down that, you know, AM 14 whatever in Sarasota or wherever the hell you are. That's that. Yeah.
And where do you go to claim it? If, like, say I went to town one day and wanted to stop somewhere and, like, claim a number, where would I go?
You contact the Federal Communications Commission and ooh, they give you but they give you a form, basically. So, and I think it can be done electronically. So you might not even have to go anywhere.
All right.
You know, I don't know. You know, look, I'm sure you have to sign to, you know, because anything you claim you have to sign for. But, I mean, worst comes to worst, you got to sign, scan, and send it back, right? So, I mean, look, I'm not saying that everybody will be comfortable with doing this. But if you don't, you know, if you're already dealing in some way with the federal government, which almost anybody I know is, then it's not going to harm you to show up and say I'm claiming in a signal. You know,
right?
Because it's open. It's just open. It's there to be claimed. Just like just like when land was available and they said you could go out and claim a plot of land if it wasn't claimed already. You know, during those migrations west and stuff, it's the same kind of thing, except it's a broadcast area. So there you have
it. So if I know someone that can claim one, then you could put together like a GoFundMe and make your Amazon wish list with the proper equipment and get that done.
Yeah, I don't have the list in front of me or anything, but yeah, this is my understanding, is that it's just that simple. And then it's just a matter of, you know, put it together, set it up, plug it in, you're good to go.
There's a good question in the chat. Would this tower be harmful to your health if it's in your yard? Like, what kind of frequencies?
Well, it is an AM frequency, so I mean, you know, probably nothing more than you're already being bombarded with if you're near civilization.
Would it be, like, connected to the internet? And how would that be? Would you have to have Wi-Fi?
No. No, you could hardwire, as long, well, here's the thing. You could have a hardwire connection to the internet, you know, an Ethernet cable. And, you know, you need something that interprets the, if you wanted to rebroadcast my signal, you would need to be able to catch it and plug it into a soundboard. I mean, that could be done. It would not be a good idea, but it could be done with a phone if you wanted to. Yeah, something like a laptop or whatever that does have access to the internet, but you could do it with a hard wire, no Wi-Fi.
All right. Matter of fact, I got a hard wire.
Yeah, no, I've got Ethernet cables. Anybody who's got a router can run an Ethernet cable usually. So you don't have to, you know, you don't have to add to your Wi-Fi. But then again, most people have Wi-Fi already. You know, matter of fact, I would suggest to keep real time, I would suggest using an Ethernet cable because one, it cuts down on the amount of stuff you bathe in, and two, it cuts down on, you know, the amount of overall EMFs that you're, you know, just blasting your home with. So you don't have to. You could just do it with a hard wire.
I'm at the end of a 100-foot cord, Chuck.
Well, there you go. See, you could do it with your 100-foot cord, no problem, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you do need a machine, like a laptop or something, you know, get my radio broadcast and then, you know, channel it in, and then that's it.
Right, through SAM.
Yeah, well, you could use the SAM. Well, no, I was saying you could use the SAM if you want to do your own show and take out, you know, like drop my broadcast, plug yourself in, boom. You're live on your own little broadcaster.
And then you can get it to run it for you the rest of the day.
Yeah, there's the guys who run Alternate Current Radio. They use they only use their SAM broadcaster to basically rerun their own signals. They don't you know, like when I was talking to Hesher about DJing and stuff, like he barely knows how to do that with the SAM. I was telling him how to do that stuff, but he knew how to just, you know, repurpose the signals and send them back through with the SAM, which is what he dedicates it to. And that's it.
All right. Well, let's see these towers and let's make this happen. And I don't know, maybe we can get to the topic in the second hour and like really make steps to make this a reality. You know,
well, let's, you know what? The best thing though is crowdsourcing on this. You guys, if you guys out there listening to this think that this is a good idea, want to participate in it, start looking into it for yourselves. Like I said, you could find a way to broadcast your own thing. I mean, it's not just me, but you know, I'd be more than happy if you did this to help me and to get the broadcast out there, and I'd still be on airwaves somewhere.
Right. It clearly, bigger than you, Chuck, it could service an entire community, and especially like small communities like mine that are not represented at all, not just underrepresented, you know what I mean? It could even help people connect with other local people. I mean, everyone tries to tune in around here to the larger stations for like an hour where people can call in and,
well, theoretically,
you know, sell or trade stuff, but
theoretically,
you can have that too.
Right. Theoretically, like you did your, you know, your sale out there, right? There at the, Ozarks Church of Nature, you just kind of did a yard sale with, you know, your things you've grown, right? Well, why not announce that for about a week? If you get everybody kind of listening to the little radio station, you could run a little just announcement during the day. Hey, look, Christy's going to be doing a sale. Also, you know, Mike over here has a whole bunch of extra goat milk and he's willing to trade it. And you could inform the locals, hey, listen, we got goat milk here. We got some stuff. It's just for us here in the little area, but come down and see us or whatever. You could give out a phone number on there if you wanted to. I'm just saying, lots of little things where you could have people locally directly just, let me tune in and see what's going on. Plus,
every community should have one. Now you're really getting the wheels cranking. So I want to make this a reality somehow.
Well, here's interconnectivity where people are not turning to Facebook to find out what's going on in their neighborhoods. Right. Is that you could just say, look, and matter of fact, if you want to get creative about it, for like 10 bucks, you go to one of those, you know, like make me some business cards, and you could hand them out around town saying, look, this is a local information station during the day. And then at night, you know what we do? We play this guy, Ocelli. He's got this network. He's got, you know, a couple other broadcasters on there. It's alternate information. So you've got local information during the day. I mean, I'm just saying you could split it. If you wanted to, and make it so that, hey, tune into this guy at night for information and entertainment, and then during the day, we're going to tell you all about what's going on in the community. You know, your own little local news report, just for your blocks and the stuff that actually counts. Not just the police blotter, right? Hey, listen, here's a guy who needs some help. Hey, listen, here's a guy who's grown way too many carrots, and he'd like to offer to the community some carrots and perhaps, you know, whatever. You could do whatever you want with it because it's yours. See? And that's the best part of it. And like I said, be nice if, I'll be more than happy to freely provide the programming at night. Okay? And 24 hours a day. You don't want to run shows all weekend? You could just plug me in for the weekend. Not a problem. I've got stuff 24/7 on my stream. You know, and maybe I'll change it up. If there's actually local broadcasters, I'll change it up. We'll start reading off a list of them, you know. Just call it like Christie's Radio in Arkansas is at this frequency. Christie's Radio, 1420 AM, there in Arkansas, you know, blah, blah, blah. And just list them. These are the great people that are participating in our micro network.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. I think every community needs one.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I it's strange. Like I said, people are turning to Facebook right now to find out what's happening two blocks away
from
their house.
It's ridiculous. And then if you're not, it's why are we supporting the same system that we complain about? That is just, come on, you're insulting and assaulting your own damn soul when we do that. So there's a better way. It's up to us to make it happen.
You know, one more cool thought I just had as you're saying this, and this is like blossoming in my mind right now, is, you know, there are people that go on to, now there are delivery apps and stuff that do this now. So, you know, some of the technology that can be used on a local level for something. There are people that make plates of food, right? So that you're making like takeout food for people, but it's home cooked meals. And this is, kind of trendy in some places. There's some high end people who, you know, do this in like, you know, very expensive communities where they just, you know, they fancy themselves chefs and they've decided to do their gourmet, whatever the hell. Anyways, some people do this as a way of, trying to earn a living, right? Where they're making something. Now, Christy, I know, makes bread and stuff like this that not everybody's making. I'm not saying that you would offer to make dinner for the whole community, but...
Oh, I do, Chuck. The only reason people tolerate me in person is my food and my cooking, and it's been a useful trade and barter item. I keep less people fed now than I did my first couple years here, but somebody is fed every single day in big groups, and that's part of what I'm doing here at Ozarks Church of Nature and how I promote healthier eating within the community and showing people that healthy eating doesn't have to be gross, you know?
Gotcha.
It can be amazing and abundant and vital and delicious and, you know, so yeah, that's one of my top thing. I mean, oh, you don't have power? Let me bring you dinner.
Well,
you have worked all day? Let me give you dinner. Stop on by, pick it up. Let me, you know.
Well, let me just run this by you. Maybe some people, you know, in the surrounding area don't necessarily know you or don't necessarily barter with you. They could assist you in sustaining your circumstance and your place there by coming and, you know what, I've got a $5 meal. I've got a $10 meal that will definitely feed you and be super healthy, and here's what I offer on, let's just say, Saturday or Monday, whatever. Right. And you could do that and maybe, you know, who knows, take back in some resources so you can repurpose them and continue to grow what you grow.
Absolutely. In fact, like, people that I've fed regularly, like, they, like, stopped in one day and then they had, like, an out-of-towner who was, like, totally impressed, and they ended up, like, paying me as if they went out to a fine dining dinner. And, yeah, like I said, I got lots of cedar wood for lasagna and work for food. Yeah, people literally will work for my food.
but you could barter, and barter's great, but here's the thing.
That's
you could,
what it is, yeah.
But you could also offer it for somebody. Listen, there are some people that go, look, I'd love to get involved with this kind of thing, but I don't have anything to offer right away. Or maybe they don't have anything to offer at the moment, but they do have some kind of resource. And they might just have money. And you know what? I'd be open to taking cash. You know,
right, cash is trade too, and I definitely appreciate that. Yeah, so people know where to go if they want good quality food.
Well, but here's the thing: you could literally say, "All right, I have, you know, a bean salad today." On your little radio station, you're hungry today, come on by.
Right.
I've got bean salad. I've got
a sign outside, you know, hot coffee, lentil soup, or buffalo soup, or.
But you could cut your microphone on any time because I know you're not shy, and you could say, listen, here's what I've got, come on by. You know?
Right.
And,
by the way, we just got a bunch of duck eggs today.
There you go. Maybe tomorrow is a massive breakfast, right? I know you can make
absolutely.
Some.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chuck, you're totally talking my language and what I'm actually doing, and it's also part of my purpose. And I am sure that one day I won't be trying to juggle all of these projects alone.
Right.
But that's definitely, like, we've even taken the time to write many pages of, you know, so I have considered making this a nonprofit and some other things down the road, and have done, like, the paperwork, the outline, the purpose, the mission, all of the different branches, and you're definitely speaking one of the branches that, again, I'm already currently living, just not on a scale that gives me. But the thing is, my purpose is building this, right? So I have a lot of lives depending on me. Plant and animal,
right.
And building this. So, you know, once this is built and maintaining, and yes, I've created a lot of work for myself here, but that's my purpose first. It's not making the money. It's building this because it's my it's my food in the future, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I got to eat three passion fruits today. Mm-hmm. I've got to eat figs. Fresh from my yard that I get to eat right now. Tomatoes, figs, passion fruits, beans, radishes, beets, kale, bok choy, tomatoes, peppers, and then buttloads of herbs and the trees, right? So I've just been pruning the cherries and peaches, pears, apples, and yeah. So this year, my new trees that I planted in 2020, one of them gave me two pieces of fruit and the other one gave me one. So next year, I think there's going to be a lot more food and then a lot more for the market and a lot more to advertise on our micro stations that are going to you know, be essential and instrumental in every community across the nation. Mm-hmm. Well, but yeah, it's all Project Love Your Neighbor stuff that I've been talking about since 2012.
Well, there you have it. Now, somebody else could be listening to this and saying, look, I don't grow stuff, and I don't have this or that. But you might have a skill. You might be a mechanic. You might be somebody who's just good at vehicle repair. Now, here's
the
thing.
You can help me pull grass or pick up goat poo to put in the garden, or carry rocks.
But there's manual labor.
Or tie string together.
There's manual labor, but then again, maybe there's somebody who has another skill set that they don't think is necessarily involved in all this. And you know what? They might have something to barter with, too. And this is how you can find out. So I'm just thinking that during a certain portion of the day could be dedicated to just that. Just the stuff that is right there within a couple of miles. Easy to find. Tell them where it is. Tell them what it is. That kind of thing.
Like, and everything, like I said, is here, but people really don't know. But like within a mile radius of me.
Yep.
There's goats, chickens, cows, every animal, right? Mm-hmm. So you can get any meat or egg or like every, right within a mile, and everybody has a skill,
mm-hmm.
right? So I definitely am pro sharing those skills with your neighbors and letting them, you know, share hopefully back whatever skill they have, because every single skill is essential.
Exactly. So, this is how people could learn about that. There could be somebody who says, you know what, I haven't had the opportunity to network with people, but they hear that if they come by for breakfast or whatever, that if they have some sort of skill to offer, that they might be able to work something out. I'm just saying, it's just one of those things that could be done on a local level. And again, when it comes time for, okay, so Christy needs lumber, you never know. You might have somebody who's sitting there on a pile of lumber that they don't need.
There's a bunch of that, too. People, you know, have their own little wood shops or mills, and they cut their own trees. Like, I mean, one dude doesn't even have a property this big, and he's been cutting his trees for 10 years, and you can't even tell he cut a tree.
There you go.
And that's... yeah, that's how they build everything. That's how they keep themselves warm and cook, and yeah,
or maybe,
it's amazing.
Or another thing is maybe somebody does go fishing regularly, and they could take their fish guts and refuse and stuff like that. That stuff does help with compost.
A dude just came by today. I'm like, I need your fish guts. He's
yep.
like, I wanted to drop a bucket, but you weren't home, so I dumped it. I'm like, dude, just dump it in my yard. I don't care. Like, please.
Yeah. I got
so.
You. But you see what I'm saying, though, is that now here's a guy who could have fish to offer if he's got extra fish, but also the fish guts and stuff could be used as fertilizer. You know, it's,
well, they love my cooking, so they do give me fish.
See? Well, but there you have it. So, alright.
Right.
Anyway, this is an idea that can run and can run everywhere if people want to get involved in it, and they can do it for their own purposes. Maybe they've got other things that they want to barter with on a local level.
Everybody has a community, Chuck. This isn't just for us, and this is for, like, people really need to be thinking this way, and I think the microstation is a wonderful way to make it happen, because everybody has AM radio, at least, you know, even if you don't have a radio in your house like I do, it's in my car, and then I have the survival, whatever, solar radios that I play to keep the deer away, and it's on AM radio, right?
Yeah. You know what I love is those wind up. I used to have a whole bunch of stuff that you wind up, you know, the flashlights and the radios, and I don't have them anymore, but I love those things, and I know they're still available because any of the Army-Navy guys at the flea market or at the Army-Navy stores, they still sell them, so I know they still make them. And I guarantee.
Yeah, I got one. It's totally affordable.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, it's one of those things I need to get. I mean, I actually need to get some stuff at some point, but, you know, just priorities.
I really need it, though, where I live, you know what I mean? So not only to cover more ground to keep the deer away, but also the fact that, Chuck, I have internet, but that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't have a radio or a TV or an alarm or, you know, and I live in a, not an underserved, but a completely not served community.
Right.
So I figured the radio doubles as keeping the deer away and also informing me if I didn't have internet.
Well, and that's the other thing is that, you know what, you could be part of informing your community about many things. And it could be, you know, like, let's just say you're in a place where you're still dependent on the water supply and you're not using your own well. Well, you know what? You could be talking about what's wrong with the water. You could be talking about these kinds of things, making people aware of different opportunities, so on and so forth. Literally get involved in your own communities instead of relying on Facebook to do it. I'm going to take a break. And, you know, maybe we'll get into a different subject in the next segment. We went real long here, over an hour, I think. Yeah, we did. Talking about this, and it grew from the me getting canceled in a bunch of places to what could be a solution. And there was no script. There was no plan. This is just the way it went. Christy Aphrodite's with me, and we're going to go a little further with maybe half a plan when the Ocelli Effect continues. Stick around.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Ocelli.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim. Oswald girlfriend. She knew Ruby and Barry. Cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker. In her own words, you'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before. You're going to have mental depression for people. You're going to have large numbers of suicides. Take a look at what happens in a really horrible recession or worse. So you're going to have tremendous suicides. You know what you're going to have more than anything else? Drug addiction. you will see drugs being used like nobody's ever used them before, and people are going to be dying all over the place from drug addiction. I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before. I want them to appreciate the incredible job we're doing. We are doing a job the likes of which has never been done before. You're going to have mental depression for people. You're going to have large numbers of suicides. Take a look at what happens in a really horrible recession or worse. So you're going to have tremendous suicides, but you know what you're going to have more than anything else? Drug addiction. You will see drugs being used like nobody's ever used them before, and people are going to be dying all over the place from drug addiction.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia,
by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War,
by author Mike Swanson.
Revelation through conversation.
We'll be right back.
Ocelli.com.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Ocelli.com.
So, second segment of the Ocelli Effect, and we're not going to go to any other break tonight. It'll just be this. Christy Aphrodite is with me, and we got into an unusual topic in the first hour plus, but definitely necessary. And I want to tell you something, Christy. I had in mind that when I thought I had that really good job with that Australian radio station, which has now blacklisted me,
right.
Which I probably didn't get a chance to tell you about that, but I'll tell you real fast. The radio station was going to pay me a little over $60,000 a year to basically do my show 3 hours a day, you know, live on their broadcast network, right? And that was the agreement. Part of that money I wanted to invest in exactly this, the micro broadcast towers. And I wanted to, at the beginning of, say, January of this year, actually see if I could recruit people to put these things up, and I would either pay for them in part or in whole.
That's weird. I just said January to you in the break.
Yeah, but that's what I wanted to start doing, is like say, okay, you're a dedicated listener of mine in pick a state, any state, Arizona. Okay, well, Arizona, you want to run, you know, you want to plug in my tower there? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy the tower. You can do what you want with, say, half of the broadcast day, and then 12 hours of the day, run my signal, right? And right. That's it. That would be the whole of the agreement. Everything, you know, it's yours, you set it up, and I would just buy it. That's what I was planning on doing, is starting to buy these things and put them up with dedicated listeners who want to get involved in their communities and also spread the word, broadcast the network, right?
Right. Underground Railroad, dude. We got this.
Well, but that way we would have our own little thing, and then I would just start adding them. Okay, you know, here's Ed in Arizona. Here's Jay in California. Here's, you know, Tony in New Jersey, whatever. Just start adding them based on listeners who were willing to put them up and just keep them running at their homes.
I think that's something worthy to ask for in Patreon. And I also think it's something worthy enough to include in all of my future plans here with Ozarks Church of Nature. I mean, Project Love Your Neighbor is something I, you know, started back in 2012. It's exactly...
Right.
You know, and I really think the micro stations fit into that perfectly because... Yeah, we have to be done relying on their sources for information.
Right.
Yeah.
And obviously
people aren't getting out to go there, you know, meet their neighbors because they're fighting with them on Facebook.
And I have,
you know, we need to, real community has to get away from that and have a platform to actually promote people who aren't, you know, Google blue checked or whatever, all these, you know, that make people better than us these days, right? And really be able to communicate about actual community issues, not just what we get on the 7 o'clock news.
Right. And this way, look, here's the thing. It would have expanded what I was doing with the network because I would have come up with additional stuff. If I'm responsible for being a broadcaster in your area or whatever, right? then we can add a steady DJ show so there's always a music couple hours or something. We can add so that there is a concentrated news show that actually covers, you know, in this way, you've got your own little independent thing there that is unique, that comes from, yeah, from my network, but I would have customized that for the broadcast because that would have been the main thrust anymore, right? Anybody who wants to join us on the internet can do it, but I would be very concerned about making sure that each one of these, like, give everybody a little entertainment, give everybody some alternate information, some real alternate media, right, all the way around. And all of that would have come together in that swath of programming that would have gone out live. And like I said, I would have built it bit by bit, $1,200 at a time. Not saying I could buy one every week or whatever, but definitely I wanted to reinvest in that. Because I was already investing money. Here's the thing about those radio broadcasts that I had on the AM and FM is that some of that I was paying for to make sure that we had radio slots, and some of it I was being paid for. So the idea was to take that money and reinvest it back into expansion. That was the idea, but this way we would control the broadcast towers ourselves. Smaller, yes. Harder to find, little bit. But you spread the word in your own community. I mean, and that's another reason and another purpose for interacting with your own community. And again, not relying on Zuckerberg to allow you to share things in your community. It doesn't matter if it's the community yard sale.
Right. And people get shadow banned. Internet sites get shut down or hacked, right, or this and right, that. But AM is always there.
Well, but that's the thing, is that that's there. And, you know, even stuff like, I don't know if you have this where you are, Christy, but like say here in Macon, Georgia, we have what they call the Macon, Georgia yard sale. Which on Facebook is just a bunch of people selling their stuff,
right,
which is fine, no problem. You know, you want to put up your car here? I'll put up my car on Facebook and sell it. That's cool and all, but why are we relying on Zuckerberg? And why are we relying on, you know, these algorithms and God knows what people they've hired to figure out what's acceptable, not acceptable in your listings and all this other stuff? What I'm saying is this is direct integration with your community, direct interaction and interfacing, as opposed to going through the grand filter of Facebook, which is A, antiquated, B, young people don't go to it, okay, C, it's totally controlled, captivated, and overwhelmed with a whole bunch of crap that they are filtering for you constantly, changing the algorithms and trying to manipulate you into, you know, working with the like button and all these other things they've done over the years. This would be direct interaction. So this was what I had in mind, and it was just a matter of I didn't have the funds for it. If I had the funds for it, I would just buy micro broadcast towers for everybody who wanted one. But the thing is, I was going to start reinvesting it with that. So I was a little upset when that failed. I was a little upset when another radio deal failed. But now, strange thing, is one little broadcast, one media group decided to buy up a bunch of these small ones. They're now collecting a bunch of them up. It's not just the ones that involve me, but coincidentally, they bought up a bunch of the little ones that did involve me. And as I said, first order of business is you're all fired, but we'll give you a couple more weeks worth of work. And one of the things you got to do is cancel the contract with this guy. So, you know, and I'm sure I'm not the only broadcaster getting canceled, but coincidentally, same week that YouTube cancels me and Apple is giving me a hard time about, ready for this one, confirming my identity and making sure that I am the absolute author of what I have put out under my name, et cetera,
wow.
Stuff like that. And also now giving some scrutiny to my material because they have standards by which they don't wish to push medical disinformation, blah, 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 or anybody who actively supports violence, this kind of thing. You know, all the stuff that you know damn well, Christy, I don't do. Okay? But they're going to scrutinize me, and who knows what they'll come up with. I guess we'll see if Apple keeps me or not. But if you're listening to Ocelli.com radio on Apple, just be forewarned. If we disappear, unless I'm dead, we didn't really disappear. They just might have deplatformed us, okay? Anyway, I had this great idea last week, and I wanted to see if we could do this, and this will be great if we can get to it, and maybe we'll go a little overtime.
Yeah.
But not too far overtime, because I think you can do this quickly and concisely, and it's a cool idea. And what is it? Well, you know, everybody needs a first aid kit in their home. Everybody does. Because inevitably you're going to injure yourself or someone else will become injured somewhere on your property. You might want to have things at the ready to be able to help them. Now, there's a variety of crap you can buy, and some of it, even though it is the, you know, major manufactured stuff, and I'm sure I've got a couple of Chinese products in my, medical kit that I have here. I'm sure of it. Okay. I'm not saying that I'm making any judgments here, but I was wondering what a very natural type person like yourself, Christy, might advise somebody to have in their general first aid kit in their house if they wanted a more nature-based solution, possibly better things for healing in the long term, short term, or maybe just, you know, one little piece of poison you don't have to introduce to somebody's body to try and keep them from bleeding to death or having other issues. So let's have at it. What would you put in a cleaner, not necessarily completely clean, but a cleaner first aid kit than one might buy off the shelf from, you know, your Wally Marts or your, you know, a drug chain or whatever, which, you know, granted, you should probably have one of those things around in general anyway, but what's a better solution than that? What's a cleaner solution? What would you put in a first aid kit? Yeah.
So when you brought this up, you know, I mean, I've had a week, but I've also been working hard, and I let you know that I was thinking that this should also be like a blog as a supplementary piece. And there's also different levels. And since we're getting started on this topic late, we might, you know, go a little bit further for people who are interested in why, right? But I'll just say this right now. You can replace every single thing in your medicine cabinet with something natural, okay? So I didn't have enough time to make like a blog or like something that we can read along, right, to remember this information.
But we might continue this.
I did write down a few different categories.
We might continue this next week, though. We might continue this next week, which I think would be a good idea. Continue it next week, and perhaps you will come up with a blog or something, and we'll expand upon it as time goes, because we can always do this again next Tuesday and kind of get into it, right, and go way more in depth. So, yeah, maybe this is just the introduction, so to speak.
So it's still a super busy time for me. It's still a drought. I'm still watering all day, every day, and you know, so that harvesting and the same old. But this will be a blog, but I just have to have the time to organize my thoughts and put it in like a basic and then maybe like an expanded and maybe two levels of that, right? But there are certain things that you can get from Walmart or a grocery store or things like that that we all should have in our kitchen or medicine cabinet at any given time. And I say we all should because, look, I don't have to tell you about, you know, sitting in emergency rooms for 16 hours waiting for things. Non-essential things, right? Like bee stings or, unless of course you're allergic, but if you're allergic, then you would already have your kit with you, right? But I don't know. Have you ever actually tried a dandelion or rubbing it on a sting right after, right? So first and foremost in everybody's first aid kit, whether natural or not, should be knowledge. What is it? What do you, right? Mm-hmm. There was a time, like, back in the day when I was on pills and I had all these boxes of stuff, and then I'd go to the store and buy all these other pills and supplements and stuff. And, you know, it's like a time came where I didn't even know what it was. So that's not going to do anyone any good, right? And not only knowledge of what you have, also what's around you, trees, flowers, plants, and things you have in your home, mm-hmm. scissors or cloth that you could use, say, as a tourniquet or a gauze or a bandage, or do you have plantains or mullein or yarrow in your yard, right? So, and that's why I'm saying these are different levels. So I think maybe I'm going to start with the things that everybody's familiar with that you can get at Walmart or any grocery store or health food store or feed store or Amazon or anything like that, right?
Right.
Okay. So I hope that everybody has like some H2O2, also known as hydrogen peroxide. Mm-hmm. And you can get that at any store in a 3% dilution, which is good for topical use, right? It already has stabilizers and such. But I also recommend having like a nice 35% H2O2 that you can get at any health food store. And of course, you would dilute that, and there's many uses besides infections and cleaning, but also internally oxygenating the blood. It's one of the ways I healed my asthma. And then other people with COPD, the only advice I gave them was peppermint, mullein, H2O2. They did it. Their lifelong COPD was gone. You know, bronchitis, like it's, so H2O2. Now that being said, if you do not have the more pure, say 35% solution, you do not want to be taking the stuff off the shelf internally, mm-hmm. okay, under any circumstance. So, all right, that being said, so hydrogen peroxide or H2O2. Isopropyl alcohol, right?
Right.
70% is okay. The 91%, I'm noticing it's harder and harder to come by, but there are medical uses, multiple DIY uses, and I'll talk about all of these and their multiple uses after we kind of get them out there. Mm-hmm. But I would definitely recommend having both, right? So if you want to make like we'll get into that later. But the reason I also recommend having 91% is not just because of the higher purity, but if you are ever in a situation like I had to live in for several years where isopropyl alcohol in a tuna can was my heating source and cooking source.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, again, all right, back to things that everybody knows and can easily access, and we'll talk about all of the medicinal uses for them and how they can replace your corporate product, medicine cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
So Everclear or moonshine or a 50% vodka or a bourbon or something, right? And so alcohol is and can be medicine, and it should be something that you can pull out. Like, say you have a toothache, you can go to your kitchen cabinet and grab a handful of cloves and soak them in a little bit of Everclear, or to make a tincture, or to clean a terrible wound, right? If you live in a place like where I do, you have to know these things and be at least somewhat self-sufficient. Because by the time you get to a hospital, that's like an hour or more of trauma or bleeding or pain or whatever. So one, at least one of those alcohols, so that, again, you can make your own medicine, use it as a painkiller if you need, or disinfectant, or even to tincture an herb that you may need. Okay, vinegar, right? Whether it's distilled vinegar or apple cider vinegar with the mother, it is also medicinal. It's good for your hair and skin, multiple other uses, disinfectant, cleaning. You can also use like peels, orange or lemon, you know, your kitchen waste, and soak them in there and make them, have your own homemade cleaner, right? Or disinfectant, window cleaner, etc. And, of course, you can also use it for preserving food and many other uses. Mm-hmm. Another readily available item, I think, is important to have a little bottle of iodine or something containing high amounts of iodine. And, okay, diatomaceous earth, I think, is another essential. Not only, I mean, you can use it for your pets, you can use it for your home, you can use it for yourself internally. This will, I'll tell you what, those dead animals that, you know, I adopted and thought I was just giving them a safe, happy place to die, I did hardly anything more than give them DE. And that wiped out all of their parasites, got the dog off all the drugs. The goat ended up not, you know, after a month of diarrhea, a total skeleton. Those pictures are out there. So DE is essential, and it can kill parasites within us. And in times where people are becoming more aware of the not so pure and cleanliness of food available in grocery store, right? I mean, people are showing videos of all the time of every type of meat, including salmon, and like I've shared my stories when I bought pasta and beans, and you know, there's bugs. We're eating bugs whether we like it or not, and there are parasites entering our body from multiple sources. Okay, so that being said, there's that. Plus, it's an excellent source of calcium, right? You don't even need a calcium supplement. Save the pills. At best case scenario, you're pissing out 90% of them. All right. Clay. I recommend calcium bentonite clay. Most often it's sold as like a beauty clay. But don't follow those instructions unless, of course, you're trying to be beautiful. But if you want to remove, like, say, radioactive elements or help remove heavy metals, toxins, or even withdrawing power for your skin, say a snake bite or something like that, you want a little bit of clay. Also, you want a little bit of charcoal, all right? So you accidentally swallow poison or your pet does or whatever, you get that in your body right away. And actually, that reminds me, I need to add castor oil to this list right here. Because that's another one that I was in a situation. I was babysitting or dog sitting, and this was terrible. I was in their home. Mm-hmm. And before they left, so their dogs aren't like mine, which were, you know, Snick was just chill and would never jump or get on a or do anything, right? So before they left, it was after holidays, and they said, oh, you should debone these, I don't know, turkeys or chickens or whatever. They had a few in the fridge and put them on the counter. And I just kind of was trying to, you know, get settled and all of this stuff. And before I knew it, they devoured the bones and everything. And I was shitting bricks. Oh, my God. I just killed my friend's dogs, right? Mm. So I looked around for what they had. And I couldn't readily, like, find anything. So I called them. I'm like, are you sitting down? Okay, I may have killed your dog. So I just need to know what, you know, do you... So they had castor oil. So I gave him castor oil right away, and boom, gone. They pooped it and barfed it out, and everything was fine. So that's essential. Also, it helps in other things that we'll get into when we have more time. So back to things that are readily available with multiple uses that everybody should have in their home or medicine cabinet at any given time. And again, all these things are super cheap, right? Like, you can buy every single thing on this list and spend, I mean, I don't know, $50 maybe. Okay. So, let's see. I said castor oil. Okay. So that baking soda. Mm-hmm. And if you can get aluminum free baking soda, that's great. If you can't, that's great too. You know what I'm saying? It you can use it for, say, carpet fresh, soft scrub, toothpaste, deodorant, laundry soap, and multiple other things. Calamine lotion is one of those super cheap little effective things that last forever that I think is important to have in everybody's medicine cabinet. And in fact, calamine lotion saved me in situations where even my essential oils weren't, because they were too volatile and strong, right? And sometimes you just need to not itch, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty important to have. And I also think borax is pretty important to have, not only for the cleansing properties and alleged health benefits, and I'm saying alleged health benefits because I haven't personally experienced it. I've only read about it, or people told me theirs. So
what do you think about tea bags?
What I do know is that it's excellent. You know, you want to keep a bug-free home, right? If you want to, say, prevent disease and prevent stress and prevent, you know, your dogs or cats or whatever from getting that itchy skin, you know, these things, all of these things can either help prevent that or solve the problem.
Well, what do you think about tea bags? Because I keep some of those around, believe it or not, because they're helpful with issues with the gums. You can place them on your gums a lot of times when there's problems. And,
So I was going to get into ingredients. So it's not a surprise here, right? I'm not a fan of buying any tea bag. They're bleached, they're radiated, so that being said, if you had your own tea bags that were not bleached or natural or say muslin or cheesecloth or something like that, then I would be a fan of that, or like a tea ball, or making a compress, right? You don't even need anything fancy. You can, in fact, that's why alcohol, I recommend that. Mm-hmm. And in the kitchen, I recommend having cloves or even peppermint as the herb or as the essential oil. In fact,
it's
there's
just
this thing I saw today going around on TikTok. But I saw it on Twitter, and they're like, oh, my God, is this real? Somebody was claiming that vanilla extract, right? We talked about that from a store, was healing their gum pain. And, everybody was like, oh, my God, I don't understand. It's like, it's simple. It's alcohol, okay?
Of course, yeah.
All extracts are alcohol. So any alcohol-based tincture, but especially like clove or say tea tree oil or even leaves of certain items that we can get into later can help. Garlic, garlic clove.
I'm just saying,
I recommend everybody has garlic in their kitchen.
Of course, but I'm just saying an off-the-shelf thing, though, for me has been the tea bags, because I know they're not the healthiest thing in the world, but in a pinch, quite honestly, when you have swelling and when you have issues of the gum that you don't necessarily want to add alcohol to, you can control it a little bit with a tea bag just kind of topically placed.
That's awesome. I had no idea, and I'm glad that you're mentioning that, because even people who don't drink tea bags always end up with some tea bags in their home, myself included, right?
I'm just saying it's something that's useful.
And if that's what you have, that's the whole thing. Number one is knowledge. What's around you? What can you do with it? So you just gave me, and probably almost everyone who's listening, you know, used to do with those old tea bags. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, let's just say you have an abscess, and, like, you know, pouring alcohol into an abscess is rather uncomfortable. But you can start by reducing the swelling.
I would hope you wouldn't pour alcohol. I would hope you would just use a drop.
but here's the thing. Like, when I've had a severe, and I've had a lot of severe tooth problems, I have just, you know, do the whole thing where you hold the alcohol in a spot, a little, like, half a swig of alcohol in a spot on the gums to deaden the area. But in certain circumstances where you have a lot of swelling and it's already, like, you know, breaking open and all this, it's going to be really uncomfortable to put the alcohol on it at first. So the thing is that the tea in the bag just like that is easy to stick in there. And it will begin to bring down the swelling and the problem. It acts as an astringent. So
is there a particular flavor or brand that you're using?
No, a regular, just a common tea bag does this.
Like a black tea, like Lipton tea or something.
Yeah, something like that. That's
what
I've
used. Well, that makes sense. Of course, there's, antioxidants and anti-inflammatory products. Okay, good. Yeah. That's nice to know that some of the medicine is still in there.
Yeah,
awesome.
It does work. And the thing is, I would advise using that before you put the alcohol on it because, again, with all my experiences with it, the alcohol can be rather painful and travel around and, you know, you get the area reduced so you know exactly where to target it for the alcohol.
And there's other choices that we'll get into too, right?
Oh, sure,
like if you have herbs or an herb garden, or like you could chew basil or holy, you know, basil and achieve the same effect. Or again, one drop of say a clove or peppermint essential oil. Which I think, and I know essential oils are controversial, and some herbalists are even totally, completely against them, right? Mm-hmm. My personal experience tells me they have been more than helpful with everything from healing the five abnormally large cysts in my spine, to my herniated discs, to autoimmune, to everything, my brain damage. So I favor essential oils and think everybody should have, you know, they're small, they're convenient, they pack a powerful punch. You could easily grab 10 bottles in your hand and put them in your pocket if you ever had to run, right? Mm-hmm. And they're powerful medicine that can last a long time because you only need a drop or maybe two, you know, and especially with like peppermint or something like that. I mean, one drop of peppermint is the equivalent to 40 cups of peppermint tea, right? So again, very powerful. One drop, more is not better. Mm-hmm. I just want to get that across because in our culture, we kind of think, oh, that was really good. I want more. But you're not necessarily doing yourself any favors. And it's completely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And I want to caution with essential oils. If you are not getting quality essential oils, people have had really bad reactions. So don't ever just jump in. Put a drop, like, say, on your skin somewhere, like, mixed with the oil or something like that to make sure you're not going to have a reaction. And, of course, make sure that it's not, there's no contraindications with other herbs, right? Herbs can have contraindications with one another. And, of course, medications and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. Or allergies.
Right.
So, but essential oils, again, small 10 mil bottles, a little kit or things like that they can help you from, gum pain to heart attacks, depression, anxiety, help produce natural melatonin, open the pineal gland, skin cancer, Lyme disease. And this is just in, I only wrote down like 7 or something. So lavender, I think, is essential in every home. Mm-hmm. Peppermint, frankincense, clove, tea tree, cedar, lemon, and lemongrass. And if you want to go a step further, you know, then you can get into like orange or patchouli or, you know, things like that. But for that, those oils right there cover all of those things, including being a neuroprotective, an anti-diabetic, a cardioprotective, can anti-inflammatory, antifungal, anti-cancer, antiviral, like they cover basically every dis-ease, and with proven results to assist in. Mm-hmm. So according to PubMed.gov, this is not medical advice. This is stuff that I've read online or in their National Library of Medicine,
right?
And put into practice myself.
Well, and again, these are the basics of what somebody should have in the, you know, again, the basic kit, right? So we'll take a few more minutes to kind of round that out. And I think this will be a solid introduction, and probably we should get into it and go into it extensively next week. That would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah, I'll get through a few more of, sure, like the, there were a few other things that we should all have, right? Bandages. Don't wait until after you cut your fingertip off, right? Mm-hmm. Band-aids, gauze or clothes or towels, right? Tape or mullein leaves or comfrey leaves or plantain or fig leaves, or, you know, you can use clothes, you can use string, you can use tape. And like for big wounds, especially on like, say, your knee or your legs, or I've had big ass burns like that. Diapers, man. A diaper is an excellent, for your arms, your joints, works way better than anything else. But yeah. Instead of throwing away like old, say, flannels or, you know, shirts, things like that, you can use them when you do have emergencies, right? Like a heavy duty scissors comes in handy all the time, especially for me. But yeah, and then maybe some type of string and a needle. And then if you have onions, you know, onion skin is super powerful. Yarrow is a styptic that stops bleeding immediately. So that's something that everybody should have on hand, because you don't know when that wound is going to happen and when you're going to be able to get proper medical attention, right? Mm-hmm. So these are just things that can help you prevent a little bit of pain and trauma in your way, right? And so I want to get to just super basic kitchen stuff that they have a forever shelf life that I think everybody should always have on hand, that again, multiple uses, and we'll get into all of this stuff next week. But olive oil, right? So, you know, let's say you have medicine or herbs or basil in your cabinet, but how are you going to apply it, right? Or how are you going to apply the essential oils safely? Or how are, you know, so olive oil is a perfect menstruum, or coconut oil, honey, okay? And of course, access to clean water. Right? Sometimes just making an infusion of something really quick, or inhaling the steam of something, or eucalyptus, or even a tea, right? If you're congested or something like that. So those are basic things that you know, can make our life a lot easier when it comes to things. Honey also, I mean, has antibacterial properties, not just taking it internally, but externally as well. So, and also I am a big advocate of everybody always having garlic, ginger, and lemon, at least, hopefully clove and cayenne, and when or if available, maybe some turmeric, because all of those can be used in multiple ways, again, to either assist with the other potential first aid treatments you already have. Again, if you feel something coming on, a clove a day keeps the doctor away. That's how I was brought up, and it has proven to be true in my life for 50 years. Ginger, you know, natural anti-inflammatory. So those are just like basics, right? If you have those on hand. And then, I'll just a little bit more, just a step further. If it was possible to have an herb garden or have access to one or even have these herbs on hand. And of course I'm talking quality, not something you get in a grocery store or even a popular organic providers. I have pictures and video, but I already mentioned yarrow and I've already mentioned basil. This is basic. Basil, rosemary, oregano, sage, and thyme. Okay. They're not just good for pizza and potatoes, and they are all proven digestive aids for memory and concentration problems, skin disorder, bug repellents, anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, anti-cancer, antidepressant, anti-tumor. I mean, there's so many antibiotic, gum disease, liver protectors, like and as we talked about in another recent show, one of those coccidiosis or something, viruses or whatever, that they say there's no cure for, PubMed.gov boasts rosemary, okay, and malaria and things like that. So you, most health conditions, you don't have to go any further than your herb cabinet if you have those basics in quality, okay? And if you wanted to go a step further, peppermint is great to have, chamomile is great to have, self-heal, comfrey, nettles, wormwood, and holy basil. Like you, I hope I said dandelion. You, it really doesn't take much. And I guarantee you, with all of that there listed, you would be able to address almost every single health condition on the spot, at least for temporary first aid care while you're waiting for, you know, proper medical care. And then if you want to go a step further again, you know, save your rinds, save your pumpkin seeds. If you do have, like, say, a bunch of plantains or things like that in your yard, or dandelions, you know, preserve them. And we've talked before, an easy, simple way to get the most bang for your buck in preserving herbs that you, look, Chuck, you could make 2 ounces, okay, of, say, a dandelion and self-heal, or even a peppermint tincture or something like that. That's going to last you all year. And again, that's why you should always have a bottle of some type of alcohol in your medicine cabinet.
Right.
No, definitely. I mean, I would probably just add that there's a couple of weird little things that do come from the toxic world that are not a bad idea to have, because they're helpful in a pinch, especially if you got to wait to get somewhere. Believe it or not, a bottle of glue. Okay.
There you go.
Glue is.
Yeah, I was trying to be basic, and I think I failed, but
no,
that was
you didn't
as
fail.
Basic as I could get.
You didn't fail, but I'm just saying I would throw in a bottle of glue at least, and maybe a couple kinds of glue. All right, because believe it or not, a severe wound can be held together with a piece of gauze and some glue, without an issue. I know it sounds weird, but, you know, even that super glue stuff that makes your fingers stick together quickly, it will stick skin together
right.
if you, you know, are trying
and
to...
And also burnt sugar and onion skin.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah, so that's how they used to do it around here. Like, if you got cut on the farm or whatever, they just put a bunch of sugar on it and lit the torch and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that works. But, you know, another thing is that those sort of Kraken use ice bags, I know that they're terrible for the environment and all that, but keeping a couple of those on hand is not a bad idea.
Right.
I mean, because, look, nothing does better than something extremely cold sometimes to control swelling or to control, you know, certain circumstances that are inflammation. Reduce a burn. If you have certain types of burns, it's only the cold that's going to help it really to like not puff up and completely peel your skin off, you know, as it dies right
well,
in front
lavender,
of you.
Lavender, actually, that's how they discovered its, burn healing capabilities. I don't know. I'm not going to remember all the details because this is like 15 year ago research, but mm-hmm. it's widely known. Some French dude, a perfumist, burnt himself in the lab centuries ago and he thought he reached for water, but he reached for the lavender in the vat mm-hmm. and it stopped it immediately. So that's, yeah, burns. Lavender is excellent. And again, so is chamomile and self-heal and again, yoros. So that's why I put in a few different choices.
Mm-hmm. And a chemical burn is different than a heat contact burn, you know. And so you
right.
Yeah. So you have different things that you got to know the nature of the wound too.
For an
and
acid
that's,
burn, right? Mm-hmm, you right. can only get rid of that with another acid. So that's where lemons come in.
Right, right. I mean, yeah. So, you know, you got to be mindful of the injury, the nature of the injury. And if you have this stuff just on hand, it makes it a lot easier. So, but again, I'm bringing up some of the more pedestrian stuff that's less natural. But I would say that it's not a bad idea to have a little bit of all that around, okay? Better to have the natural stuff, and if you know best what you're doing, you can replace it all, like you said, but sometimes you gotta work with what you have, and... You
right.
know. So yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
So
yeah.
Use what you have, for sure, and especially if you know how to use it, right? Like that information you shared about the tea bags,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think everybody knows that. So whatever, everything in your house or, you know, has multifunctions. We're just not really programmed to view things that way, I think, until we need it, you know?
Yeah. And last thing is a couple of tools. You know, tweezers.
Definitely.
Are obvious.
Gotta have a knife.
You know, a knife or a couple of knives, maybe a knife and a razor blade, like a you know, a completely sterile razor blade if you can't get a scalpel.
Definitely.
These things
hatchet's
are all good.
Good to have too, mm-hmm. if you need to say get the bark of something for whatever reason.
Yes, yes. I'm just saying there's a bunch of things here and a bunch of possibilities, and I think
that's what I'm saying. You're like, how basic do you want this kit? Like, I could go on and on forever. In fact, I had to limit myself on those. But we could definitely talk about this again and expand on the variety of uses of these basic common products that cost a dollar, right? Like vinegar or baking soda and things like that. And then we'll go into things that are less, you know, well known because, you know, maybe people do want to build their apothecary or start the process of replacing the toxic chemicals with things that are natural, mm-hmm. don't, you know, and think about this. Most people are flushing this into their sewer system, which goes right back into your water,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's even more of a reason to want to consider, look, just with oregano and olive oil, you can replace your Neosporin,
right.
Okay? Or tea tree oil. And again, there's hundreds of studies, and we can go over some of those if you want next time, or we could just expand on these basic things. But also, like, if you want to talk tools, jars are tools, right?
Yes,
jars with lids, a mortar and pestle, you know.
Right, exactly. No, and that's the thing. I think what we'll do is we'll continue this next week and expand upon the various other things that could be had and should be had and would be useful, what their uses are. We may have to divide it a little bit. You know what? Here's tools, right? Here's your basic elements as far as, you know, different things that you can mix together and use that are herbs and different, what would we call those? I guess, I'm not exactly sure how to put it. The replacement for the chemicals, okay? And then you have other tools which are more like appliances that come on that have to be applied, right? There's stuff you use, there's stuff you apply, and then there's the replacement for the toxic chemicals. So I think those three elements all together, if we expand on those, we can get a really good idea. And anybody,
so if you want tools like that will assist in, say, your self-care or first aid treatment at home, or expand that in tools like chainsaws and sawzaws.
No, what we need is the immediate tools for getting to work. Somebody's injured, you got to have this stuff on hand ready
right.
to go. That's the thing. I mean, we can
and
talk
that's
about
so simple. Everybody yeah. always has them. That's why, like, a lot on my deleted Twitter, mm-hmm. I just show simple ways that people can make their own everything. And really, you just need a pot.
but there you have it. You know, a lot of this stuff is really simple, but some things, yeah, like you were saying, it would be good to have this prepared or that prepared, you know, a tincture ready to go, that sits there for that use is extremely helpful. You know, right. like you said, having that little bit of alcohol in a pinch at the right time is absolutely essential. You know, not just the stuff for topical use, but again, you know, just going back to all the problems I've had with my mouth. You know, look, a shot glass full of whiskey, you know, definitely assisted me in not going insane from the pain.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And think of one quart of alcohol, mm-hmm. that's 32 ounces. That could potentially be 32 different, right? One
yep.
ounce of life-saving medicine for you and your family and even your neighbors. Because you don't know when you're going to need it. You know,
exactly.
I don't know when somebody's going to pull up or somebody's going to be sent here or, you know what I mean? I just like to be ready for everything.
No, right. And that's why always in my home there's a bottle of alcohol, which is not there for fun. It is there as medicine.
Right.
That is,
yeah,
you know,
I don't drink it, but yeah. I'll use it as medicine. And I used to be, I just want to say, kind of, well, I don't drink. Why would I want an alcohol-based tincture?
Yeah.
And clearly I'm not that way now, but that's how I was most of my first 15 years in herbs. But that changed because, number one, an average dose of tincture is less alcohol that's in a ripe banana, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when it's a way that you can preserve medicine for the longest time ever
yep.
without really much concern to, you know, where it's located, right? So alcohol can, you know, preserve medicine for literally years. You don't have to worry about it going bad or rancid, like an oil or
right.
say a glycerin based something, you know, which so it, and it's how else do you get the alcohol soluble properties out of a medicine and the water based or water soluble properties?
Well,
so you're getting more nutrition or more bang for your buck with the medicine with the longest shelf life
right.
that you don't have to worry about forgetting about or, and again, one quart of alcohol, that's 32 different medicines that you have for your family at any given time. I think that's a really good investment.
Well, plus it's a natural, and you can create, you can do this, you can buy it off the shelf if you want, but if you wanted to, you could create your own, and it's just a matter of fermenting just about anything. You can create an alcohol, and it is a natural thing. It's just something that you fermented. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, speaking of fermenting, Chuck, I have to brag.
Go ahead.
The sustainable soda, so I've been continuing to add videos to the blog, although I'm too behind. But I am drinking right now the best fermented juice soda ever. And I juiced watermelon with some mustard greens. And then I added pineapple, and this is off the hook. And I still am blown away at how simple it is, right? Mm. Anyone can do this. Everyone is smart enough, and it takes no special equipment or tools other than, say, a nice kombucha jar or two or four.
Mm. Yeah, well, I love the sound of watermelon. I love watermelon anyway. Watermelon would be one of those things I would love to make into a sustainable soda. So sounds good to me. But I'll tell you what, we will continue this discussion next week, and we'll expand on it because I think this is a great and helpful way to go about it. And yet it's another way that we can share some knowledge, which is quite powerful. And of course, that's the first thing that needs to go into your first aid kit is your knowledge. You gotta know what this stuff is, gotta know what it can do, gotta know what you can use it for. Otherwise, like you said, you could have 100 things around you and you could have the cures for everything and not know it. Oh, wait a minute. That's what most of us are doing anyway.
Right. Is that... Most of these things are already in people's kitchens, and you know what I mean? And they don't know it's medicine. And that's why, you know, I think it's super important to bring up the simple stuff and get right back to basics and show people how diverse each of these simple, eco-friendly, affordable, easy ingredients, you know, that everyone has access to.
Well, there you have it. And what are you here for, Christy, but to show us that medicine is actually all around us. All we have to do is get the knowledge on how to utilize it and to harvest it. Christy Aphrodite, go to ChristyAphrodite.com or MyTrueEssence.net. Both of those websites are great places to go. Of course, this was an unusual discussion, split into two parts tonight, but it went the way it was supposed to go, and let's see what happens in the very near future. Christy, we'll continue this next week, right?
Absolutely. Yes, count me in.
There we go. So that's what we'll be doing next Tuesday. Until then, guys, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, even though you might not be on AM or FM too much longer, I am Emilio Celli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Oh, and no YouTube either, by the way. Bye.